Jesus plus nothing. 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley is celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's The Grace Message with Dr. Andrew Farley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Message. This is Andrew Farley. So glad you're joining us tonight. That number, 877-655-6755. We've got wide open lines tonight. You know what that means? Plenty of room for you to get in with your question. Maybe you've got a question about a scripture passage. Maybe you heard something in church just this last weekend, and you're still scratching your head, wondering about it. Let's make it a conversation together right now, 877-655-6755. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, you got to know we love it. We love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called in the past but it's been a while, you got something new on your mind tonight, by all means, join us as well. Again, 877-655-6755. Maybe you've got a personal problem going on in your life right now, in your marriage, with your kids, in your church. You're looking for that grace-based perspective. That is exactly why we're here for the next half hour live across the United States and Canada. 877-655-6755. Well, tonight we're going to go ahead and start out in the great state of Ohio, and we'll talk with Chi. Hi, Chi. What do you got for us tonight?
Hi, Dr. Farley. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great.
That's good. I haven't heard from you in a while. I was calling because I wanted to ask, is it possible, let me try to make it quick. Basically, I've been going through, a relationship issue, and, I just seem like everything is telling me just to leave the relationship alone, stop praying about it, I don't know. And is it okay to pray about this relationship, or... I mean, I'm just like to the point where I just feel like everything is against me, and I'm not supposed to have faith in God about this or anything. Like,
well, what is it? What's the relationship? What does it look like?
Well, it is a relationship with a man that he is a Christian, but he has some issues, and, so do I. We both have our, problems or whatever, but I just feel like something is just telling me, just stop. Just drop it. Don't love him. Leave it alone. There's nothing you can do. You just have to be in pain about it. And it's like, it's almost like it's so easily said, but it's not that easy. I mean, I've been with him for 5 years, and I've been praying about this, and I guess it's going stagnant, so maybe I do just need to stop. But how do I make this easier? I ask God to help me, take the pain away so it's not so bad. I don't keep falling into the whole thing, and it's nothing happening, and I'm just like,
okay. All right. Okay, Chi. All right. There's a bit of a mystery here as to what exactly the relationship is like, what his issues are, what your issues are, the problems you've had together. But I think we can cut through that, Chi, and just say this, that you need to ask God for wisdom. And having done that, which it sounds like you've already done, then you need to trust that God is going to operate through your heart and through your mind. And it sounds to me like he's doing that very thing. I mean, you've been with this person for 5 years, and suddenly you're getting these new thoughts, this counsel to step away from it, that it's not healthy, that it's not good. That sounds like that it may be emanating from your heart. It's not a have to, it's a want to. And so I believe that there's a really good chance here that God is inspiring and motivating you through your own desire, through your desire for something healthy, that you are now wanting to move on from something that is unhealthy. And that's a great thing. But it's going to take some choices, and God won't choose for you. And what it sounds to me like is that you flirt with that choice, you flirt with the idea of moving on, and then you get some of those old feelings stirring up again, and then you're tempted to go back to the guy and tell him, hey, let's keep seeing each other. And then you get up enough guts again, you hear your heart talking again, hey, this isn't healthy, this isn't good, it's like a roller coaster, keep ending up in the same place, so it's no good for me, and so I'm going to break it off now. And then, you know, you're back to the same old, 5 hours, 5 days, 5 weeks later, you're back hanging out with him again. And those are choices that you're making. And God won't make those choices for you. Yes, he'll be wisdom to you. Yes, he'll be your counselor. Yes, he'll be your comforter. He will guide you into the truth of the situation. But one thing he won't do is choose for you. And so when you choose a little bit, and then you double back on it, and then you choose a little bit again, and then you rubber band back to the guy again, you're putting yourself in that stressful situation by your own choices. So if you believe that God is moving you away from this person, then the healthiest thing you can do is make about 5 choices all at once. And what do I mean by that? Well, communicate to the gentleman why it's over. Tell him exactly why. And then delete his phone number from your cell number, from your cell phone. Delete email. Delete any way to contact him. Agree with him that we're not going to talk for 6 months. Take a vacation from the communication. Because otherwise, what happens is this. 5 years of memories in the memory banks of the brain, and you're trying to break it off because it's not healthy, but the old thoughts are coming back, and it's so easy to hit a button and get back in communication with him. So I think you need to make all these decisions up front. You need to break it off if that's what your heart desires, and that's what the Lord is urging you to do. And then, you know, you need to stay away from him geographically, stay away from him electronically, stay away from him in every way. And every time you get a thought about going back to him, you say, wait a minute, the Lord and I, we agreed we're going to take a vacation. We're going to take 6 months off and clear my head so that I can see better. And I think that's your answer, my friend. So no more half-hearted decisions, no more halfway breakups, no more partial breakup. You've got to go all the way if you're going to do it, because 5 years of memories and 5 years tugging at you all the time, that's what's making this difficult. So it's not God. It's not God making it tough for you. It's just that he won't choose for you. And you're going to have to make a few healthy choices all at once to break off that communication and take a real vacation so you can clear your head, ask the Lord for more wisdom, and see what lies ahead for you in the future. I hope that helps tonight. Reach out to us again anytime. Great to hear from you. All right, let's go to Ohio, and we'll talk with Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Andrew, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. What's on your heart tonight, sir?
Well, I just want to get your mind on something here. I made a post on Facebook the other day. I was, you know, trying to talk about the grace of God. And but basically, you know, when I listened to your sermon on Sunday, I took a couple things out of that and tried to, you know, explain grace and all that.
Yeah.
But what I talked about, though, is I said I was talking about doing things like Bible reading, church attendance, praying, you know, witnessing, whatever.
Right.
And I said that, you know, that a lot of believers think that because I did or didn't do such and such, God is mad at me, disgusted with me, disappointed in me,
right,
or now I'm out of fellowship. And but I used your term when you said we have an A+ in Jesus, so to speak, and he's perfectly satisfied with us. He never looks down on us. We're 100% accepted.
Yeah.
And I mentioned also what you had said about, you know, you gave that, I forget what you would call it, but I said, you know, if I never read another Bible verse in the scriptures,
right,
that doesn't break our fellowship with God.
Yeah.
And then I, just real quick, one of my friends, she's a good friend. We've been friends probably over 30 years.
Yeah.
And this person had said, I agree with you to a degree, as I see you explaining your position in Christ from a judicial standpoint,
right,
being fully justified from the penalty of sin through the blood of Christ. She says, I, however, disagree with your comparison to never reading another verse of the Bible and God being absolutely pleased with you. She says, from a fatherly standpoint, not a judicial one,
right,
wouldn't you be grieved if one of your daughters chose to never speak with you again?
Okay, all right, I'm going to have to cut you off there, Chris. I mean, I understand it. I get it, because the judicial patriarchal discrepancy in that terminology, I mean, it's been around for decades. I've heard it thousands of times. And the bottom line is, you know, it's first of all, it's made up stuff. I mean, you're not going to see the term judicial and patriarchal and familial anywhere in the scriptures. It's made up stuff. So either God is pleased with you or he's not. It's not. Imagine if we want to play out this lady's example. I mean, imagine your own father coming to you and saying, now, Chris, you know, I'm really in favor of you. I really love you judicially. Chris, I just want you to know that I really like you judicially, but patriarchally and familially, you've really been dropping the ball lately. But rest assured now, judicially, I'm really for you. I mean, that just makes you sick. It makes you want to vomit. I mean, what in the world does that even mean? It's nonsense. It's drivel. It's garbage. It's extra biblical terminology. It means nothing. Either God likes you or he doesn't. Either God is pleased with who you are or he isn't. Now, that doesn't mean that God is pleased with everything you do. Of course not. I mean, is God pleased when you slap your wife? Is God pleased when you're unkind to somebody at work? Is God pleased with you when you cut somebody off in traffic? Is God pleased with those things? No. But as far as God being pleased with who you are, that's what we're talking about here. And it's known as righteousness. It's known as being holy and righteous and blameless and being a child of God and being born of the Spirit and there being no condemnation. And we shouldn't run around saying, oh, there's no condemnation judicially, but there is familially. Hogwash, as we say in Texas. I'm not buying it. You'd have to show me a chapter and verse for that, and it doesn't exist. There's no condemnation, period. I don't need to tack on judicially or patriarchally or familially. It might make me sound really smart, but trust me, I've been there, done that. I've got a PhD in linguistics, and I know how people use words to sound better, to convey that they have a better understanding than they really have. And we can take those words judicially and patriarchally and familially and positionally and all that stuff and just toss it in the garbage, and let's talk about the epistles. I mean, what does Paul say? What does he say about the Father and his delight in you? Now, is the Father ever grieved? Do we grieve the Spirit by what we do? Absolutely. That's a deep concern. If I'm grieved over my child, what does grieving mean? I'm not ticked off at him. I'm not angry. I'm wanting my best for that child, and I'm deeply concerned over them. So the Bible talks about quenching the spirit, which is not expressing the spirit, and then grieving the spirit, which is a deep concern of God's spirit for us. And I'm so glad that he's concerned, but he's not angry. And we need to know that. So there's a different way to analyze this. We don't need all that funny terminology to make it work. Basically, there's who we are, and then there's what we do. And those are different things. And so, you know, if you say, I never read another verse in the Bible and God loves me the same, that's true. That's correct. The Greek word, if we want to get fancy for that, is agape. And I'm sure you know it. She knows it. I know it. Every Christian who's been around the block knows it. It's agape is unconditional love, God's love. And it means love without conditions. Love keeps no record of wrongs. So if love keeps no record of wrongs, then how could your reading of the Bible change that love? And somebody who says, oh, it doesn't judicially. It doesn't change it judicially. It just changes it patriarchally. I mean, what can I say except give me a break? Give me a break. It's not true. We got to stop this stuff. Let's just talk about the love and grace of God in plain terms. And, you know, the other thing that was mentioned there, she's saying, well, you know, if it wouldn't you as a father be grieved if your child said, I never want to spend any time with you again. Well, that's equating reading the Bible to spending time with Christ. And I've got some news for you. You're united with Christ all day long, even if you're illiterate. Even if you can't read. What if you're blind and you can't read Braille? What if you're in the early church from 2,000 years ago and 80% of that population couldn't read? They couldn't pronounce the word the. They couldn't sound it out on the page. They couldn't have a quiet time. They couldn't read a single letter. They were lucky to have one letter in their city, if at all. I'm talking about the Galatians, the Ephesians, the Philippians, the Colossians. How did they spend time with God? Well, he indwelled them. They were one with him. So this idea that I read a book and then I'm spending time with God, it doesn't go far enough. No, you're spending time with God every day, every minute, because you're united with Christ. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, except that it's just a weak and feeble gospel. This American Bible Belt gospel of you need to do your quiet time in order to spend time with God is weak. It is weak and pathetic. I love the Bible. Everything I teach is about the Bible. But if I told you the way you spend time with God is by reading a book, well, I've missed it. I'm sorry, but I've missed it. The book is a reminder that you're united with the God of the universe. The book is an encouragement for you to depend on the indwelling Christ. The book and the building that you attend for an hour a week, those are beautiful ways to encourage each other in the truth that you are one with Jesus Christ forever. And it's not because you're reading a book. It's not because you're attending something at a building. It's because you're in Christ and Christ is in you, and it's vine and branches and it's beautiful. It's a union. You're united with him in death, burial, and resurrection. That's the power of the gospel. This other stuff is weak and feeble and pathetic. You know, some people will call it legalism, and that's fine, but I'm just saying there's no power in it. Basically, you feel good when you did your 28 minutes, and you feel bad when you didn't do your 28 minutes. And I've counseled people for 20 years who've talked to me about how they feel dirty and distant when they haven't done their quiet time, and then they feel clean and close when they have done it. Well, that's a works-based gospel. I mean, you can be fed truth through a song, through a friend at a coffee shop, through reading the Bible. There's many ways that we can be encouraged, but it doesn't change your union with Jesus. And what I would love for people to know and grow in is the truth that you're always one with Christ, and that he never leaves you, and he never forsakes you, and you're always spending time with God because you're always in Christ. That's the truth that'll set you free. I love the Bible. I study it for hours and hours a week. I answer questions about it every night. I preach on it every Sunday. I love God's Word. It is awesome. But I'm close to Jesus because of the death, burial, and resurrection, not because of how much time I log in a book. I hope that's encouraging to you, my friend. Take that term patriarchal, judicial, positional, familial, toss them all in the garbage, and enjoy the great love of God. All right, let's go to Arkansas. We'll talk with Sharon. Hey, Sharon.
Hey, Andrew, and amen. Amen. So, Sunday, we started a series, and it was called Road Trip to Joy. And it didn't sound right to me. It's if we're going to get to joy, the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so I have watched your video on it, so I think I know the answer, but I just want to hear from you.
Yeah, well, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is an entire conglomeration of things. The fruit of the Spirit is Jesus's personality, if we want to put it that way. The fruit of the Spirit is everything that the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is everything that Christ is. So, you know, I once heard a person remark, man, I wish I had more fruits. She over there, that lady, she has so many fruits, and I wish I had as many fruits as she does. And we start looking at these attributes like they're individual, and really it's the Spirit. He's one. The Spirit is one. He lives in us, and there's many fruit of the Spirit, but you can't predict that. As you're depending on the indwelling Christ, one minute he's loving somebody, one minute you're just enjoying contentment in him, one minute you're exuding the patience of Christ, one minute you're being gentle with somebody, and one minute you're doing something completely different, like being hospitable and kind. So the fruit of the Spirit is all over the place, because the fruit of the Spirit is the personality of Jesus who indwells you. And that's why it's really foolish for me to wake up and say, okay, today I'm going to work on joy. All right, what am I going to do here? Let me see. I'm going to think of 10 things that make me joyful. Ready, go. Positive thinking, positive self-talk. Let's be joyful. Come on, rah, rah. And I have a little pep rally trying to generate joy. Next thing you know, I'm running around bragging to people that I've really, really learned to be joyful, and now I've got a problem with humility. So, you know, it's a death trap. We don't want to look at the fruit of the Spirit as a long list, a laundry list of attributes to try to acquire. We have already acquired the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit comes from God's Spirit. Now, that's not rocket science. That's just dependency on Jesus who lives in us. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus. Don't fix your eyes on joy. Don't fix your eyes on patience. Don't fix your eyes on love. Fix your eyes on Jesus, and let Jesus be himself in and through your unique personality. So I hope that helps. Reach out to us again anytime. Great to hear from you. Let's go to Grand Prairie, Texas for just a minute. Hey, Marlani, we got just a minute. What's on your heart?
Hey, Dr. Farley, thanks for your ministry.
Yeah.
I was reading a book about, you know, the Titan, and I agree with you what all of you have said. And then the author, I'm not sure who he came across, about he doesn't believe in the theory or, the, you know, what people believe, save, always save. And he gave.
Okay, all right. Well, once saved, always saved. That's what you're telling me. I've got about a minute. So what are we going to do here, Marlani? I think we got to fall back on the promises of God here. It doesn't matter if there's 10,000 books written against it. We've got the promises of God that are for it. Once you're saved, you're really saved. You're not saved for 5 minutes or 5 hours. He doesn't give you temporary life. He gives you eternal life. He doesn't give you partial forgiveness. He gives you total forgiveness. And when he says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, nobody can snatch you out of my hand. Even when you are faithless, I remain faithful. Nothing separates you from the love of Christ. There's no condemnation for you. He's able to save you completely because he always lives. And then you've got this inheritance in heaven, which is imperishable and will never be defiled, guarded by the power of God. I mean, that right there is just 8 examples of the promises of God. They mean you're safe forever. That's grace.
For more information on the broadcast ministry of Dr. Andrew Farley, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us next time as we invite you to celebrate the Grace Message with Dr. Andrew Farley. This program is sponsored by your generous financial support.